Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Isaiah chapter 58. We are in a season, hopefully, where we are seeking after God, after His holiness, like we have never sought that before. I hope you made that pledge, that vow, and I hope you're going after that. One of the things that will help us along this journey is this discipline that is rarely talked about called fasting. It's not something that Christians like to do. You don't hear it often. You don't hear people preach about it that many times, but you see it all throughout the Bible. And you see God moving and responding to it in mighty ways. Isaiah 58 is probably one of the best chapters on fasting. And I believe it gives us the secret to doing it correctly, because it can be done wrong, just like anything. Isaiah 58, beginning of verse 1, would you stand in honor of God's word? Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and why have you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Nobody's here to hear somebody's opinion on it. We just want to hear you. So, Father, we pray that you would speak through it. We pray that you'd soften our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, so that we can receive it. Father, I pray that you transform us. Father, I pray that you would challenge us to fast, to be people who not only read the word, not only pray, not only give, but people who fast. Lord, we love you. We give you and you alone all honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Verse 1, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. God tells Isaiah, right? Shout it out loud. Don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. This would have been a shofar in the Hebrew. This is an image of a shofar. You've seen it, that curved horn. The shofar was blown to get everyone's attention. It was used to call the people to assemble or call the people to battle. So when the people heard that trumpet, heard that shofar, everybody paid attention. God is trying to do that with these people now. Get their attention. tell them of their rebellion, or in another translation, tell them of their transgressions. What is rebellion? What are transgressions? It's when we know what God's word says about something and yet we do the opposite. It's when we know God says don't cross that line and we purposely step over that line. That was what was happening back then. That is what's happening today with us. We know we shouldn't watch that movie. We know we shouldn't click on that thing that we click on. We know we shouldn't be talking about people. We shouldn't be gossiping. We know we should forgive. God calls us to that, and yet we refuse to. God was trying to call them out of that. You see, the people back then and sometimes us today, and maybe not sometimes us today, we tend to all like to play religion. Verses 2 and 3. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Day after day, they're actually seeking God out. Pretty good, right? They seem eager. I don't know if that's good. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does right and follows my commands. So these people are spiritual. They want to be in the presence of God. They're the type of people that go to church. They pray. They seem to want to know what his word says, the ways of the Lord. They seem eager for God to come near. Things look great from the outside. They even fast. On the Day of Atonement, the people were called to afflict their souls. They were called to fast. This was not a joyous celebration like some of the other festivals that the Lord instituted. Instead, it was a time to humble themselves before the Lord and draw near to him, to seek his forgiveness. So they fasted and they bowed down. But their questions that God shares reveals their motives for why they did it at the end of that verse that we just read. They were really fasting, not to really draw near to God, but to put God in their debt. I did this and you owe me, Lord. That is religion. In religion, you earn and God owes. Fasting is amazing. I believe it's powerful. But sometimes we in the church, myself included, probably don't present it in the right way. We say, if you fast, then this will happen. The problem is we kind of use it as a ritual. What is biblical fasting? Biblical fasting is the voluntary abstinence from food for a period of time for the purpose of drawing near to the Lord. Leave that up there for a minute. Would you write that down? Biblical fasting, what it is. And would you, when you write that down, underline the last part of that? Because that is the key. For the purpose of drawing near to God. The problem is we treat fasting as a way to earn something. If I do this, God should do that. When we approach it in that way, then fasting just becomes about the first part of that, abstaining from food, and we don't draw near to God. Here's how we know if we're doing it wrong. If we fast and we keep on transgressing, we keep on sinning, we keep on crossing that line that God tells us that we shouldn't, then we're not doing the last part of that. Because if we were to draw near to God, we would quit sinning in that way. You can fast, you can pray all that you want. You can go to church, you can tithe. But if you do those things and you don't really draw near to him and you keep doing the things that you shouldn't be doing, you're going to feel like prayer doesn't work. You're going to feel like fasting doesn't work. You're going to feel like this whole thing doesn't work right. You're going to ask the question, why am I fasting and you don't hear me, God? That is why God says to Isaiah, call them out. Don't hold back. They seem eager, but they're not really drawing near to me and following my ways. So, if prayer isn't working for you, we talked about prayer last week. If prayer isn't working for you, if fasting isn't working for you, if this whole religious thing that you're coming to isn't working for you, then the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we drawing near to God? Are we getting in his presence? Are we listening for his voice? Or are we just babbling? Are we just saying all the things that we want? Here's what I need, Lord, blah, 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 done. No, are we drawing near? What do you have to say to me? What do you want me to change? You bought me at an extreme price. You pulled me from the pit. You saved me. Here I am, right? Send me. You have to be in God's presence. You have to be near him, though, to say, here I am. Send me. Sometimes we just don't do that. We mentioned in James, mentioned last week, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other. We have to be aware of our sins. We have to confess them. We have to repent. We have to turn from those ways, right? And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Could we say the prayers of an unrighteous person are not powerful and effective? I think we could. Are your prayers powerful and effective? Do the math. See where you stand. Draw near. Confess your sins. This isn't about being perfect. This is about being near him. And in that process, he will change you. He will change the desires of your hearts. Some people get frustrated with God. I go to church. Why didn't I get the job? Right? I prayed about it. Why haven't you provided a spouse for me? I tithe. Why haven't you financially blessed me? These type of questions reveal our heart. A heart that is not near him. Because in those situations, God is not worthy. Yeah, he saved us, right? He went to the cross, but he's not worthy. Instead, we want a God who's a genie. We want the vending machine. Here's what I want, Lord. That's the only time I really need to talk to you and seek you out, just when I need these things. At this time, people fasted and did this one day a year. By the time of Jesus' time, they had begun to fast twice a week, usually on Mondays and Thursdays. They did it, though, to really just appear to be holy and righteous. That's why Jesus says this on the Sermon on the Mount. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We have to examine our motivations in everything that we do. Why do we do what we do? The people confused rituals with relationship and outward acts of obedience with true heart obedience. And we do the same thing today. This is what it looked like for them. Verses 3-4. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. Apparently, they're beating each other up. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. So, on this day of fasting, on this day of drawing near to God, they fasted, but they did anything that they pleased. I'm checking the box by not eating, but I can keep on sinning. And I can do whatever I want with the people who work for me. On the day that they were to draw near to God, they're getting into fights. That happens when you get hangry, right? This is what was going on. And when they were fasting and God says, do you really expect your voice to be heard? That's a great question for me. I hope it's a great question for you. Do we really expect our voice to be heard? Do we pray and fast and go about just doing whatever we want, willfully doing the things that we know we shouldn't, and somehow have an expectation that God is going to answer our prayers? Who are we kidding? Would we do that with our kids? If our kids willfully did not do what we said, purposely did not do what we said, and then they came to us and asked us for something, would we be like, oh yeah, sure? No. Why would we expect God to be different in that? Why would we expect God to hear us? Verse 5, is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? They humbled themselves. They did it, but it was just for a day. And then it was right back to doing everything that they shouldn't be doing. Right back to business, same as usual. Is that Sunday for us? Man, I had a potty mouth at one time. I could swear with the best of them. On Sundays, I wouldn't do that, though. In church, I wouldn't do that. I acted differently. But then Monday, when I'm back at Taco Bell, man, I'm right back with that old way of speaking. Is today a day where we clean up and act religiously? We put on the nice clothes? We don't do those things on this day, but then Monday comes and we look a lot different than we do on Sunday? Is that what God wants? No. In the next verse, he describes what he wants. It's amazing. Verse 6 to 7. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. One purpose that God, I think, has for fasting that you can see here is justice and mercy. This is what these people needed to hear, because we know they were exploiting people. They were taking advantage of people. And this goes against the heart of God. God wants us to stand against injustice, to see it and to call it out. God wants us to be a part of setting the oppressed free. He wants us to share our food and homes with people. He wants us to fight for the weak. Some of you have done that. Some of you have literally opened up your homes and invited people to stay with you. Some of you have lent cars. Some of you have shared money, food, furniture. You've given those things to help people. That's what God desires as true religion. That's what it's about. Verse 7, provide for the wanderer. The word wanderer is really the immigrant. Have we done that? I'm grateful for an opportunity to be a part of that. We should be people who look for immigrants to help them out. Because unfortunately, we live in a society that takes advantage of immigrants. We've seen that. Howard could tell you stories where our Haitian brothers and sisters have come to us and told us that somebody offered to fill out some paperwork for them for $1,500 and then took the money and ran. It's made my heart sick when I've heard those stories. We've seen them be scanned for thousands of dollars. That grieves the heart of God, and we're called to help. We're called to stand against that. Read these verses. God is about justice and mercy, clothing the naked, giving food to the hungry. It's all about seeing whatever's broken and being a part of fixing that. That's what we're called to. What is broken? Where can I bring the kingdom of God to? and fix that mess that's there. This is one of the reasons that God calls us to fast, so that we can physically identify with those without food. That's what we're doing. It's not meant to necessarily harm us. We're meant to deny our flesh. That's a part of it. But it also gives us a chance to think about what it's like for people who don't have food. We're blessed in America. We have food opportunities all over the place. But that's not the case throughout the world. When we fast, it opens our eyes. We're awakened to the plight of people. It softens our heart to those that are in need. We need to do that because normally our problems take center stage. Normally, everything revolves around us. Everything orbits us. We're selfish. You don't have to teach a baby to be selfish. They come out that way. Fasting breaks that. Fasting calls us to deny ourselves, deny what we want, and instead draw near to God. What happens when we draw near to God? Our heart goes to where His heart is. We look to be a part of what He's doing in this world. We look to carry on the mission of Christ. We become smaller. He becomes greater when we fast. The first prophetic message in the book of Isaiah 1:17, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That's what we're called to. These are all the people that normally are overlooked and placed at the bottom of society. They have no hope except for God's kingdom when He calls His people to look out for them. This is our calling. This is what a follower of Christ is to be about. Our culture says you want to be happy, you want to be fulfilled, you got to get that dream house, right? They show it to you. On all those shows, man, if you only had this house, this forever house, then it would be okay. If you only had this vehicle, if you could somehow get this vehicle, then you'd be okay. Focus on yourself and you'll be happy. After all, you deserve all these things. And that's why people are so depressed today. So unfulfilled, so dissatisfied with life, because these things do not satisfy us, because they don't fulfill our calling. But when you serve, when you help people, when you see people set free from bondage, you realize this is why I was born. Fasting breaks the focus on us. We deny ourselves and we draw near to God. Verse 8 and 9, then your light will break forth like the dawn. If you have this kind of fast, right, and your healing will quickly appear, then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Do you want that? You'll cry for help, and He will say, here am I. How does that sound? If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing fingers and malicious talk, that's hitting home for me. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. I don't know about you, but this is a sun-scorched land, where we're drinking pop and it never satisfies our thirst. And will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want to experience that? The question is, though, will we respond to the call? Isaiah has this word from the Lord. He delivers it. He shares this prophecy, this prophetic word, and the people of Judah don't move. The people of Judah are attacked and carried away into Babylonian captivity. Do I need to be shaken this morning from apathy? Are you off track? Is something missing in your life? Is there something that you just can't find in your life that satisfies you? Are you just a little too comfortable? Fast. Deny yourself. Do you know why a lot of people leave church? Because they never become a part of it. They never take ownership. Some people just go to get something or to be entertained or hear a good message, but they never serve and become a part of it. So it's easy to leave. There's no tie. There's no binding there. When I first went to Chipotle, it was awesome. After your 50th time, it's old news. Sometimes you go there and get bad service. I don't need to go back there. There's probably someplace better. I'm kind of bored of that. That's going to church for some people. It's great the first time, but then the faster is like a pastor, but he's faster. Then the pastor gives an okay sermon. Doesn't really hit me like that first one did. Maybe the music's a little bit off. Maybe there's people there that rub you the wrong way. I can go somewhere else. That's not my church. That's not my church. That's not my family. That's not the people that I serve alongside. No ownership there. When this life is no longer about you, about just revolving around you, and when you realize that you're called to something bigger, called to be a part of the body of Christ, when you get that, you don't want to leave that. That's where you find purpose. That goes beyond everything. Today, I want to call you to fast, to break this world being about you. I want to call you to fast so you can identify with people that are oppressed, who don't have what you have, to open your eyes to injustice, to soften your heart. I want to call you to fast so you confront your sin, so you quit stepping over that line that he's called you not to. I want to call you to fast so that addiction that plagues you is broken. I want to call you to fast so that you can find God's wisdom. When we draw near to him, he makes us aware of the ways that we're out of sync with him. Once a week, would you do that? Once a week, would you go without food for an entire day? Filter that through your medical situation and health situation. Some of you might not be able to do that. I'm speaking to a bunch of people in all different walks. If you can, though, one day a week, go without food. Deny yourself. And remember, above all, it's about drawing near to him. I also want to call you to fast longer than that. Fast to break strongholds. Do you have an addiction in your life? Do an extended fast. How long? I don't know. Whatever the Lord calls you to. 3 days, 5 days, 21 days. Whatever the Lord calls you to. Start off maybe with a 3-day. Maybe don't try for a 21-day fast right away. It's hard. But start to deny yourself longer. You need freedom. You need freedom from that bondage. And that's what fasting does, because fasting teaches you to deny your cravings, deny your flesh, and in that place, draw near to God. That's where you find healing. That's where you find freedom. That's where you find the thing that you're craving, that you're looking for in that other place that will really satisfy your soul. Are you facing something big that's beyond you? Do an extended fast. Esther was facing the annihilation of all the Jews, and she needed to go to the king. She was worried. She was scared. The problem was that if you're uninvited, it could cost you your life if you went to the king. Esther 4:12-16, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Man, that's a picture of the church, or what we could be about. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I'll go to the king. Even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. God granted her favor. With the king and the Jews were spared, they were saved. You see this time and time again where people will humble themselves. When a nation is coming to attack Israel, they will humble themselves. They will call the nation to fast and to pray. And God will save them. Why is God not moving more in our nation? Why are we praying and we don't see things changing for the better? I think it's because we don't fast. We don't humble ourselves. We don't draw near to God. We just go to church and do our things, do our little religious things. What would happen if we gathered together and fasted? What are you facing that's beyond you? Fast and gather your brothers and sisters to fast with you. Husbands and wives, fast together and draw near to God. Together. Do you need wisdom? Are you facing a serious decision about joining the Navy? Do an extended fast. Acts chapter 13. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Paul's first missionary journey began because God spoke to them while they were worshiping and fasting. Of course, fasting helps us know the will of God. Where discernment, the discernment that we need. Because when we fast, we draw near to Him. That's the key. Eddie and I were going through a discipleship class, and we were challenged to fast many years ago. We just fasted to draw near to God, not with anything that we're asking Him or not with really any intentions. We did it for 21 days, and during that time, that's when I got my call to be a pastor. And it was confirmed through my wife. That wasn't on my radar. I didn't want to be a pastor. I had no thought about being a pastor. But that's when I received my call. What guidance or direction do you need? Fast. I want to call us to fast. I feel called to fast for Haitian brothers and sisters and what they face today, what lays before them. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to fast with me for that. TPS has ended for them. The way that allowed them to be here is done. They've applied for asylum. Now they'll be decided by a court. They can be picked up. They can be thrown into detention until that court date. We want to pray that that doesn't happen. We want to pray for those judges to make decisions to let them be here. They're here legally. I see things online. They're saying, well, they're not here legally, so send them back. They're here legally. They came through the government to do this. They are here to work. They're here for a better life. They're here to flee from Haiti. We have members who have lost their son to gang violence, to lost their brothers to gang violence. We have members here who have had to fled because their life was in jeopardy. A lady who's not here right now was actually shot there, and that's how she came here. We have moved family from Haiti to other countries because it is not good there. It's dangerous there. Unless God does a miracle. I hate to think what's going to happen. Will you fast? Will you draw near to God and seek him out? One day a week? Something's going on in your life bigger than that? 3 day, 5 day, 7 day, 21 day? Give up food, that's biblical fasting. If you can't do that, give up something meaningful. This isn't Lent. This isn't, I gave up chocolate, and so I'm just going to eat other candy. This is serious. This is something that's going to be where we have to deny our flesh so that it changes our point of view and draws us near to God, whatever that is. If you do take on a fast, let me give you some advice. One day, you're probably going to have a good headache. You're probably going to be hungry. 2 days, you're going to, if you drink caffeine like me, you're going to go through withdrawal. It's going to be painful. Your joints are going to ache. You're going to be miserable for days 2 and 3. That's what's going to happen. If you quit eating sugar, that's going to come out of your body, and it's going to be a rough time. So expect that. Bring some Advil or whatever you need to. But keep going if that's what God calls you to this. Don't compromise on things. When I fast, the last time I fasted, I was like, I'm gonna fast except for coffee. Why not coffee? Because I love coffee, right? And I was trying to rationalize that with God. And he said, absolutely not. And I said, what about black coffee? I won't put creamer in it and sugar in it, just black. Absolutely not. Don't compromise. Don't shortchange it. Deny yourself. Whatever that means for you. I love to rationalize things. Don't do that. He knows your motives. Make sure you check your motives. Make sure this is not about God owing you something. Make sure this is about you drawing near. That's where freedom from bondage comes. When you draw near to God, that's when the things of this world that are huge mountains before you are put in the proper perspective to the God that you serve, and they become small. He makes ways. Draw near to him. Don't do it to lose weight. You will not. I know there's intermittent fasting, and that's probably good. I don't know. But I just tell you this because I have fasted and said I'm doing this spiritual thing, but it really was about losing weight. Don't play that game. You'll actually slow down your metabolism and you'll gain more weight. So don't do it that way, right? Do it for the right reasons. He knows our hearts. There's the challenge. Fast. Make it a habit to fast, to deny yourself. Once a week, seek him. If you need to seek him longer, do that. Marriage in trouble? Do an extended fast. Kids wayward? Do an extended fast. Big decision, do an extended fast. Addiction, do an extended fast. Something big before you, fast so that you can draw near God. Amen? Stand with me. I asked you this earlier, do you just need something to wake you up? Are you just a little too comfortable where you're at? Try fasting. Try fasting. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, our hearts are heavy for our Haitian brothers and sisters. We're asking you to make a way. Father, I pray that you would put it on our president's heart right now to reinstate TPS for our Haitian brothers and sisters. Father, if that's not what's going to happen, Lord, then we pray that you would give the judges, our brothers and sisters, favor with the judges, that you would make a way that they could stay here. Father, we pray for the nation of Haiti. We pray that you would bring revival to it, that you would flip it upside down, that gangs would lay down their weapons, that you would bring healing to that land. Lord, whatever it takes, we pray that would be done. Father, I pray for the people who have problems with their marriages, finances, things that they're looking at, Lord, that just seem out of their control. Father, I pray that they would be able to lay these things down before you. Break addiction. Break things that have us in bondage, Lord. Father, help us to not take sinning lightly. Help us draw near to you, Lord, and to repent and turn for those ways so that you can heal us. Heal our land, Lord. Father, we ask this in the name above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.